is Jason Bell from the NFL Show, and you are listening to the Franchise Tag Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Franchise Tag Podcast with me, your host, Freddie Hall. I hope you're doing all okay. What a great week and great weekend of sun we have had. The sun's been shining here in the UK. We're allowed out in the beer gardens now. We're allowed to be out of our friends. I'm sure you've all taken full advantage of the sun and the beers. I know certainly I have this weekend. Still feeling a little frosty, but it's okay. I still got all this done that we got done today, and we're going to have a great time. And while you're waiting for the next weekend of hopefully a lot of sun and going to chill out with your friends in the beer gardens, etc., and gardens and having fun, you can listen to the Franchise Tag Podcast for the old fan, the new fan, and the UK fan. Follow us on social media, on Facebook and Instagram with the Franchise Tag Podcast, and on Twitter with the handle at Franchise Tag UK. To get in contact with us, you can email us on there, DM us on there, or email us at thefranchisetagpod@gmail.com. You can find our podcast on iTunes Podcast, where you can leave a rating and a review, and we are also on Spotify as well. And hopefully, as of next week, we will be debuting onto YouTube as well. So a bit more of a visual for you, actually put some faces to the voices and the names that we say about. I mean, maybe not a pretty sight for the viewer, but we'll try and spruce up and don our best looks.
It's outrageous. How dare you accuse me of not being, good enough to be on YouTube. So,
Well, I don't always think green and yellow is your colour, mate, but that was the team you chose, if you don't have them platforms though, for iTunes Podcast or Spotify or YouTube, but come on, everyone's got YouTube, go to www.thefranchisetag.co.uk. We are only just over a week away from the 2021 NFL draft. Very exciting now. Lots of mock drafts out there. Lots of pro days happen now. Being able to see the athletes. I mean, pro days for me don't do much for me. Andrew loves watching them. He goes through them all and sees what these guys can do. I've been in and out of them, admittedly. But it's all going to culminate on Thursday, the 29th at 1 a.m. going into the Friday. So hopefully you've booked the next day off to be able to see your team pick a player in the first round. Or if you're one of your lucky teams who doesn't have a first round pick, just to enjoy an NFL experience. Obviously, this year we are going to have players at the actual draft night as well. It's going to be a lot more active than it was last year, rather than Roger Goodell in his basement with a TV behind him. It's going to be a lot more going on with the media, with the fans. I'm sure it'll be a really great night for the players, the fans, the media, and the teams as well that are picking. We're going to talk today about some players that maybe you haven't seen in the mock drafts, but you haven't heard of, haven't been the highlight names maybe, but have been coming out recently. But the names for me, Adam and Andrew, we have heard in history, I suppose, in the last 6 months, these names have come to us and we've watched them, and I've done some research about them. I've always avidly admitted I'm not crazy into my college sport. I don't watch all the games or anything like that, but I know the names, and I tend to know what's going on. I tend to keep a track on where they're going as well. But before we talk about that, we did have a few days ago the official announcement of Alex Smith, long-standing quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, Kansas City Chiefs, Washington football team as well. He is retired. I mean, one comeback player of the year last year after that horrendous leg injury that saw him sidelined for a very long time. Andrew, you're the one who's watched NFL longer than me and Adam. I mean, I can imagine you remember him being drafted by the 49ers. What a journey Alex Smith has been on.
Yeah, definitely. I think we did a bit when we spoke about comeback player of the year. And I just think he's just been fantastic for anybody out there for inspiration to, if you have had an injury or a knock, that, you can get back on it and play at the highest level again. He's had such an amazing story and always managed to come out of it well. So it's just so nice to have that inspiration for youngsters coming through into the sport.
And Adam, I mean, it's not been no secret, especially Patrick Mahomes. He put a thank you message on Instagram and in Twitter and everything, like thanking Alex Smith, really saying he wouldn't be the player he was today if it wasn't for Alex Smith. How influential has Smith been to young quarterbacks and new quarterbacks coming into the league?
I think probably wherever he's been, he's always had a young quarterback, in the back room with him. And it's always going to be, having someone who's had that experience and played for a little while is going to be influential to any young quarterback. I think the good thing about this is that it feels like that he's been able to go out on his own terms. And I think that's an important thing, especially for him and his family. You know, he didn't have anything to prove, but at the same time, he obviously felt the need that he wanted to come back and give it another go. And he managed to do that and win some games and play well. And so I think that's probably the biggest thing to take away from this.
Athletes, I feel like, are always trying to find that. It's always good to, when you see an athlete have to finish up early due to injury, whether that be in football/soccer for the Americans, rugby, cricket, tennis, athletics, American football, basketball, any sport that you watch. It's always nice to see the athlete go out on their own terms. Other news following today, about 2 hours ago, it was announced that Mike Tomlin, head coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers, has signed a 3-year extension. The head coach for my team, very happy with that. I've been so happy with the stability of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I know I've not been a Steelers fan for 20 plus years, so I don't remember the Bill Cowher days. I know we've only had 3 head coaches since around 1960, which is phenomenal in the National Football League, considering how much of a roller coaster, how much of a carousel ride is for coaches, etc. So I'm very happy with that. I'm very happy with Tomlin keeping around in Pittsburgh for the time being. Another bit of news that I actually will touch on, we didn't discuss this just before we came on air about what we were going to talk about quickly in the news, but the news coming out today, Andrew, for you, New York Giants are shopping out that number 11 pick. The number 11 pick in the 2021 draft that they've got in a couple of weeks' time, they sit at number 11, a very prime spot to get some very, very good players at the top end of the draft just there. Dave Gettleman hasn't ever traded out the first round in the 8 drafts, but I think he's been a part of. I'm sure I read somewhere how my stats could be wrong there. Shocked that you're shopping that pick, upset, or are you happy with maybe what you could get back and maybe what you could get down the board as well?
Yeah, I'm quite indifferent with it. I mean, we've had such a strong free agency that, when I'm going down the board on my mock drafts, when I get to the Giants, I'm now looking at it going like, what would strengthen the team rather than, we really need someone at this spot. I've not got my heart set massively on anybody at the moment at that spot, just sort of someone who would sort of strengthen, like I said. So I can see us moving out of that, maybe get a couple of quality players further down in it that can strengthen. The more youngster we've got, the better we're going to be for the future on those rookie contracts.
And Adam, is that the difference with a lot of these teams in the NFL draft? Is that look at the Giants, and Andrew saying rightly so there, is the player that we'll pick will strengthen us, but we don't ultimately really, really need anyone in any specific position. We're not desperate for anyone in any specific position. Is that the difference between maybe more of a winning franchise, more of a losing franchise for teams that, get to this draft and really need to nail it and get these good players in, and teams were like, well, in this draft, if one or two whiff?
I think if you can sort of find a specific weakness and improve on that, if you've reached that point, I mean, I said this during free agency in Cleveland when they very much went for certain players in specific weaknesses because all the other bits are strengthened. You sort of feel like with the Giants, I can kind of see why there isn't anyone specific that they want at that particular place in the draft, because really the draft, the only ones who are like really desperate for one specific player tends to be a quarterback, really, like in the first round. So I think because of that, it's one of them things where they don't really need anyone desperately, but at the same time, they do have lots of little areas that maybe they could improve on and get better in order to maybe, push themselves into becoming a playoff team and further. So I think that's probably why they're looking to move that pick and move back. I mean, I don't know. Are they looking to come out of the first round completely, or is it just sort of move back and sort of like maybe get an extra pick later on down the line?
The talk is they're just shopping. So we're not, right. I don't think anyone knows yet if that's right. We're just going to go out the first completely, lower down. I mean, there's plenty of teams down. The Patriots at 15, the Bears down at around 20, I think. The Washington football team, what are they, like 23? That might be the other way around, actually. I think Washington at 20 and Bears are at 23. Teams that could look at getting a quarterback for at 11.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing you've got to remember is that sometimes when there's not so much news because the draft is the news, that we find certain media places like to create a bit of news sometimes. So it's like there is that as well, where I mean, I don't know exactly what he's come out and said, or if he said anything specific at all. But, you know, I mean, I would imagine that most teams are looking at trading if they get the right amount. Yeah. sort of thing. It's like, you know, last night it came out that Miami were interested in maybe moving again if somebody was willing to offer the right amount. I mean, it depends what they want, doesn't it?
It's dangling the carrot in front of the donkey and seeing if the donkey's going to eat in it. And that's what they, all these teams doing. And like I said, in an NFL world at the minute, where week before draft week, not really any news, nothing fun coming out, nothing to really discuss about. It's fun just to, you know, make all the other heads spiral in the NFL as it is. Right, so let's talk about the main portion of today of what we're going to do. So we're going to talk about some players today that... we've all picked one quarterback, one running back, one wide receiver, and one defensive player. We're going to talk about them. They're basically players that maybe you've not heard of. At this point, if you're following the draft, you've heard of Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, Trey Lance, Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle, Kyle Pitts. These players now are hand in hand with what people are talking simultaneously with the draft at the moment. So we're going to look at players that they may slip into the first round. You never know, but they could well go in later rounds, whether they'll be the second, the third, the fourth. We're just going to go, you know, through them, but maybe you guys want to go out and check them out on YouTube, etc., see their game highlights. But they're players that have maybe impressed us, but maybe their names that we've heard for a while now, and now it's come to draft time, they've suddenly disappeared, these names, and we don't really know why. It's a massive education for me, who doesn't watch a load of college football. It's a bit of an education for Adam, who's more watches college football than me and has a bit more of a finger on the pulse compared to what I do. And for Andrew, it's run the mill standard what he thinks about and talks about every day, because he loves talking about college football and NFL. So all these names, none of them will surprise Andrew, I'm sure, but some of them I may not know if I'd never heard of, and neither may Adam. And I've definitely had a lot of fun researching some of these names, and all my guys were just names to me. I didn't maybe know the in-depth. I only had one player who I'd actually watched in a game last season, and that was by chance on YouTube late at night. It seemed to be on, so I watched it. Let's get this all kicked off, and hopefully you all can all keep an eye on them in the draft in the not maybe the first day, but in the following days after. So we'll kick off with our quarterbacks then. So we're going to start with Andrew to begin with. So what quarterback, Andrew, have you picked for us to be keeping an eye on?
Okay, my quarterback, I think is going to be a good snap up in round two. Is going to be Keelan Mond, Texas A&M. He's played there for 4 years. He's a real, real strong prospect. He's shown progression every year he's been there. He's managed to, you know, sort out some of his struggles when he first started out, and his completion percentage has got risen every single year. And his final year there was the most impressive that he had. And he really polished and took on board some of the criticisms. And I think if it was a full season, we would have had seen him had like real good stats. And I think the fact that it was a smaller season showed his stats slightly shorter. He went into the Senior Bowl and he was the MVP at the Senior Bowl. And, you know, he's 6'2", he's 205 pounds. So he's the size that you'd expect for an NFL quarterback. And if you look at his tape and you look about the way he plays, you'll see that, you know, the Texas A&M haven't had the greatest of seasons the last couple of seasons. So he's been under pressure a lot, and he's had players down his throat, and he's been making NFL type passes in those games. So he's for me, he looks like he's ready to make that next step. Like I say, he's made the progression every single year, and I do think he's ready to make the step into the NFL. It's just a few little tweaks that aren't making him sort of like knock down it from round one, I think, to round two. And I think if he's with an NFL coach that's good with youngsters, he's going to be a really, really good prospect. And he's not, I think he's got the chance to not only just be a backup for a team, but maybe if he sat for a year, there's potential with this guy that he could flourish and come through and be a franchise quarterback and do a job at a team. He's got real good size. He's arm strength's really good. He throws a really good spiral. And that's something I always look at when I'm looking at the college quarterbacks going into the NFL. How good's the spiral? How good is their arm at throwing ball? Because it's a big difference moving up to the NFL and the bigger ball. Looking at it, I see very much comparisons. If you look at their college careers, I know take away the NFL from this slightly a little bit, but if you look at Colin Kaepernick's actual college career, the stats are very, very similar. I mean, Kellen Mond is a real good athlete. He's not quite as reliant on his legs as Kaepernick was at college, but he's an absolute athlete, got real good speed. And I can see comparisons with the two of them. And we saw what Kaepernick did in the NFL, and he showed that he could produce the numbers in an NFL team and potentially be that good. So this is the kind of guy I see Mond being, and he could make that breakthrough. So I could see him potentially looking, for me, the Bears, Washington, or Tampa. I think they're three good teams with three really, really good head coaches that can really help a youngster. And they've all got quarterbacks currently, Dalton, Brady, and Ryan Fitzpatrick, all older guys that can teach Mond those extra little bits of the NFL to make him an NFL quarterback. So, that's my first quarterback for you guys.
Can I just ask, obviously, Chris Sims on Pro Football Talk did his rankings on the quarterbacks and obviously had him at number four ahead of Justin Fields and I think ahead of Trey Lance as well. I mean, do you actually, I mean, personally, I think that's a little bit excessive. He obviously is a capable quarterback and was in college, but I mean, do we actually think that he has the ability to be a starter in the NFL for many years to come? Because if you're ranking him as like fourth, then that's kind of what that's saying.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Sims isn't the greatest of guy to listen to talk about quarterbacks. I think he thinks that Mac Jones is the best quarterback in this draft class. and he hates Justin Fields for some reason. But when you look at him, like I said, he's had 4 years at college. And like I said, you've seen progression every single year with him. Whereas like the likes of Newman, he's had 1 year at college and had a good year. We haven't seen whether he can make the steps. So I think if we had a full season and maybe that Mond was with a slightly bigger team than Texas A&M, I think we would be talking about him as being a first round quarterback. I think he's very underrated. And I think, yeah, we would be discussing him. He's come up against some big teams and made NFL passes, which, you know, would evaluate for me higher than Trey Lance and Zach Wilson. But, I'd put him in that mix of being around one if we'd maybe seen a full season and he was a better team. But I really like him as a prospect.
Well, we might as well stick on a name that was just mentioned there by Andrew with Jamie Newman. I believe, Adam, that is the quarterback that you want to tell us all about.
Yeah, so I had a look at Jamie Newman, who, as Andrew said, he only played the one season in 2019 for Wake Forest. It's a bit unfortunate, really, what's kind of happened with him, because he was being discussed as a really high potential pick. He moved to Georgia in 2020, and then obviously COVID happened and he opted out. But in 2019 at Wake Forest, and the thing that you've got to remember with Wake Forest is that he didn't really have their game plan didn't necessarily suit him 100%, but he still managed to produce 26 touchdowns in that year. The pass completion was 60.9, which isn't amazing, but it's all right. People need to realize with Jamie Newman is that he is probably one of the best rushing quarterbacks in this class. He's got a great arm. He has the strength for it. Brilliant deep ball placement. And like I said, has the ability to be a good rusher. The main reason that I feel that a lot of people need to know about this guy is that Pro Football Focus actually had him ranked as the third best quarterback of this class after Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields at the end of 2019. And I think that that's saying something, that, you know, you've got these players like Zach Wilson and Trey Lance. I mean, Trey Lance, he missed basically all of last year. You know, Zach Wilson, yes, he played, but, you know, you don't know how they're all going to cope once they go into the NFL. Obviously, the downside to Jamie Newman is that he's played for Wake Forest, which isn't at the top level, and he didn't play last year. So there is a lot of unknowns with him, and that's probably why he's going to end up going at a much later round. I mean, a lot of people are saying that he's going to go round four, possibly even round five. But he would be someone who I feel would be an ideal backup, like someone who you can just sit into a system behind an experienced quarterback who could, you know, make a difference in time, you know, and he could do better. I think given his size, I mean, he's 6'3", 234 pounds. So he's a big guy for a running back, for a quarterback and for a rushing one at that. And I think the obvious comparison from just purely from size and stature and his rushing ability is someone like Cam Newton, you know, it is that kind of thing. So when it comes to thinking about what sort of teams, I mean, if they don't want to take a quarterback in the first round, the Patriots, I mean, they've had Cam now for 1 year, they've got him for another, and they want to play in with a rushing quarterback. He would be an ideal sort of person. Another one that would be a really good potential one, because he's going much later, would be someone like Seattle. You know, they don't really have anyone to come in after Russell Wilson, yet you've got all these potential problems with Russell Wilson at the moment. And you sort of think, so, you know, that might be another one where he might be worth going. But I think a lot of people are sleeping on him because he didn't play last year. And he, not this year, he won't play this year, but in a couple of years' time with an experienced quarterback to sit behind, I think he actually might be pretty decent.
Yeah, that's fantastic knowledge. I mean, to Patriots drafting a late round quarterback and it succeeding. I mean, we've seen it happen before. It could well happen again. You never know. The quarterback I've gone for is Kyle Trask over in Florida for the Florida Gators. It was really good football show. I mean, Andrew championed him a couple of months ago, and it was this player that I just happened to stumble upon on YouTube one night. I was just up late and Florida were playing, and I enjoyed watching him. Yeah, weirdly, that he was playing against Arkansas, against Felipe Franks, who was the quarterback in front of him in 2019. So Felipe Franks was the 2019 quarterback, got injured in the first game. So Trask came in. He had 237 completions, 2,941 yards, 25 touchdowns, 7 interceptions in that year, and was a walk-on. So, you know, that's pretty fantastic. He had 363 passing yards in a game against Vanderbilt, which is the most passing yards in a game since Tim Tebow. So hopefully he will have a better career than Tim Tebow. But, you know, everyone loves Tim Tebow. So he also then in 2020 passed for 416 yards and 6 touchdowns, which was an all-time team record for yards in a conference game. And he also did other... He also broke other historical factors in there as well against Georgia with yards and touchdowns. And he had 4,283 yards, 43 touchdowns, 8 interceptions in the 2020 season. He was a Heisman finalist as well. I don't think people realize that. Like, I think everyone just sort of focuses on Devontae Smith and Justin Fields, but he had a heck of a season with Florida. I mean, his pro day, I didn't think he looked always very smooth. Andrew talked about a tight spiral. I didn't think I saw that much. I didn't think I saw that much pop, but I liked what he had. Like, he had nice pocket presence. His NFL comparison on NFL.com, which as well, I've got a lot of my stats from, a lot of info from, is Brad Johnson. I don't know who Brad Johnson is. I don't know if that's negative or positive, but, you know, one can find out about that. But he's got good arm strength, good touch, good placement. He's a skilled passer. I think he really took on the opportunities he got in 2019 with Franks being injured. He got the year. He could have really crumbled under that pressure. He took it on. He did really well with it. He then got into 2020 and excelled even more with it. He really stepped up against big teams like Alabama, and he seems to find the space. And he's also been commended as a really great leader for Florida as well. The cons really are, is I don't think he's NFL ready. He's definitely a sort of backup material for the minute, but definitely something for the future. If you look at the Florida team, they had good play. I mean, Kyle Pitts is the guy that everyone's talking about for Florida, about his transformational talent at tight end. He had good players around him that did elevate him. He also had Kadarius Toney, a good wide receiver who's probably going to go in the second round this year as well. I wouldn't say he's a true athlete, and he's not an improviser. But I think we focus on that maybe a little bit too much in the modern day quarterback. I do like the modern day quarterback where they are athletic and they can move and they can run, but there is still space for quarterbacks like that don't do that as much. Baker Mayfield seems to be working. I think Kyle Trask has a better arm than Baker Mayfield from what I can gather from everybody. I just think he's not polished. I think it's just a bit more probably polished me, you can get there. And it's strange when you both of you have said teams that could suit sort of this sort of guy. And I've got Tampa. I think he'd really, I mean, if he's not polished, being behind the most polished quarterback in the NFL history is going to do you wonders. Atlanta, I think, is also one that's one. I know I've said it many a time about Atlanta taking a quarterback at four with Matt Ryan only having 2 years left. But if you don't want to waste, quote unquote, waste that pick on the fourth, you could get this guy a high second, high third round pick for Atlanta. And he's got that Matt Ryan thing where he's probably a bit more athletic than Matt. He's definitely more athletic than Matt Ryan now, but has a big arm. It is precisioned and is a skilled passer. Yeah, it needs polishing up, but again, behind a very experienced guy. And another team I've got is Minnesota Vikings with Kirk Cousins over there. I think you could learn a lot from Kirk Cousins as well, and they're similar style quarterbacks, I think, in that way. And they could definitely, Vikings could definitely get him in the third round, maybe. This is a guy that I thought could be a first round talent in January and was definitely told that. And then he seems to have fell off, much like all three of these quarterbacks have really fell off compared to the guys that are now being pushed up in that top five quarterback position. Let's move on to the running back. So I'll wheel back round to Adam this time. What running back do you have there, my friend?
So I've gone for Kenneth Gainwell from Memphis. He's another guy actually who opted out in 2020, but he showed in 2019 that he can have used be quite a sort of like have quite a big workload for a guy that's only 5'8" and 201 pounds, you know. So he had 231 attempts, 1459 yards and 13 touchdowns in that season. I think he's definitely someone who, I mean, some people might have heard of him. Definitely people who have been doing mock drafts will probably have heard of him. But I think that realistically, you're probably going to be looking at sort of like the rounds. Sort of, I think he might be towards the end of the second day, like a round three pick. But the reason that he is as good as he is that he's great in the pass catching game. You know, that's the thing where he sort of excels. He's not that guy, although he's had the workload, he's not the guy that's going to pound it down the middle every time. So because of that, I kind of look at him as almost like a version of Austin Eckler. You know, he's kind of got that thing where he wants to go out to the edge a lot of the time, and he wants to sort of get around. He's very quick. I mean, I know these 40 times that they did, they're not really official sort of thing, but he did 4.42. So he's pretty quick. So he's definitely someone who I think an NFL team would be worth, you know, taking around the round three mark. And I think when it comes to which team he would be a good one to have, I mean, when you look back at the LA Chargers with Austin Eckler and Melvin Gordon, well, currently Denver have got Melvin Gordon and no one else. So, you know, Denver would be a great spot for him to fall. And, you know, he's not a massive expense as a round three pick.
I hadn't heard of him at all until you said so. I'm really happy because this is the whole point of this. This is the whole point for our listener as well, isn't it? Is that we're finding out people we don't know. But you're right. If he's got that Austin Ekeler type trait, Melvin Gordon was successful with that. I think their backup is Royce Freeman at the minute, which, yeah, you know, it's Royce Freeman. It's not going to do loads there. It could be definitely worth investing in the third round pick. You're not going to have to pay him loads. And I think we might. I will add, while we're on running backs and wide receivers, especially, is we've seen now in the last 4 years that there is so much depth into these late rounds and people just don't know about them and they come out of nowhere. And, you know, Denver being one of them with Philip Lindsay, an undrafted rookie. So all these guys that we are saying now have potential to really pop in either next year or the year after. Andrew, what running back have you gone for?
Okay, my running back is Chuba Hubbard from Oklahoma State. Not anything to say, but, you know, he was, for me, in 2019, when I really, like, spotted him. I remember, like, watching all the games and sitting with my dad, and I was looking at him and going, like, wow, this guy is, like, incredible. Like, he's insane. Like, so good. He's like 6 foot, but he chose to go back to college for the 2020 season to try and boost his draft stock after his absolute monster year. I mean, his monster year in 2019 was over 2,000. So he's a quality. Touchdowns in the catching game too. And 2020 just didn't seem to work for him. I know he had a little knock injury, and the Oklahoma State sort of didn't produce the numbers that everyone was expecting. And I don't know, he really dropped off the radar, and he didn't have that monster year. I think, you know, before the year started, he was rated as probably the third best running back at the college level. And everyone was saying, you know, this could be someone who's going to be maybe a first round pick in the future. And after his injury, he decided to opt out of the rest of the year and try and prep for the draft. And due to that, I think he's really, really slipped off of everybody's radar. And I've seen him falling to rounds 4 and 5 on a lot of mock drafts. And for me, like I said, if he can produce the ability and the numbers that he did in 2019, when he beat everyone, I think he's going to be really, really strong. He's proved to be a good inside and outside runner. He was an every down back for them, but I think he's really, really going to be strong in a committee back. I think, you know, if you've got a really good runner, I think to rest them and bring him in, he's going to be absolute, like, powerhouse to bring off the bench and your main runner. So if he was an RB2 in any team, he's going to improve that team straight away. And when looking at those sort of types of where he might land and teams that might want to look at him, and I know for me, because I really, really loved him, the New York Giants for me would be a perfect place for him to land. You know, Saquon Barkley is the main runner, but what happens when he's injured? What happens when you need to rest him? You know, we don't want to overuse him. This is the perfect guy to come in and play behind him. And they could work together well. They're very similar style backs. He's not quite as a powerhouse as a Saquon. Not many people are, but he's got similar tricks to him. And like I say, he's very good in the pass catch game, which is something, you know, alternatively that the Giants could really use in their play. I'm also looking at teams like the Patriots that love committee backs, and I'm also looking at somewhere like the Falcons, which now have what big back Mike Davis, but you know, what have you got to bring on after that? This is the guy I think that could fill in for them. You know, you're going to get him as a steal in those late rounds. He can produce those 2019 numbers. And when you look at him and you look at his size and you look at his speed and what he can do, he really, really reminds me, this maybe not a name that you're going to be familiar with, Fred, but he really reminds me of Clinton Portis, who played in the NFL a while back. He had like sort of 8, 9, 10 years in the NFL, and he was a solid back and really, really impressive. And he's got very similar shape and speed as this guy. And he, I think he went in the later rounds. I think he was a round two, late round two guy. So, you know, and then he had an absolutely fantastic NFL career. So I think he could match that and really be a standout guy. And this is a great platform to talk about him because I think he will produce the goods in a team. And also you could see him on special teams as well. So I think it's going to be a name that will make it in the NFL.
And he was at Oklahoma.
Correct. Yeah. The Oklahoma State.
Well, that's
the Cowboys.
Hopefully is a great segue to my guy then, because I feel like they probably donned the same uniform at the same time and probably helped each other with their stats. And that's Trey Sermon. That is the same Oklahoma, right?
Trey Sermon's at Ohio State.
No, but he was at Oklahoma. Yeah, that's correct. That is correct. I know it's correct. I researched it. I know. I'm right.
Yeah, but he made his name at Ohio.
Really? But not according to this guy's research. And I'll tell you why. So I've gone with Trey Sermon, who was at Oklahoma, who then transferred to Ohio State in 2020. This guy, 22 years old, 15 stone, 6 foot running back. So, you know, lighter. He's a pass catching guy, really. He did transfer over to Ohio State. He got 116 attempts for 870 yards, 4 touchdowns, 12 receptions for 95 yards. Really had his best statistical year in 2018, but he did rush for 331 yards against Northwestern last season, which is most in a single game by an Ohio State player. And obviously, there's been a lot of very, very good Ohio State running backs. He was also the MVP in the Sugar Bowl v. Clemson. He did get 193 yards, touchdown, 4 receptions and 61 yards against Clemson. Came on for the first play in the national championship and got injured. I believe he broke his collarbone. So, you know, unfortunately, it didn't end up being the greatest ending to the 2020 season for Trey Sermon. I think much like all of the running backs we've talked about so far, outside of Najee Harris and Travis Etienne, the running back class is probably not getting talked about. And there's several teams needing one. And we've all said about teams needing a good number two or maybe a good number one later on in the rounds. And Trey Sermon is definitely a guy to keep an eye on. His pro day was decent. He was quick. He showed his pass catching ability, which is really good with his body control. When I watched his pro day, the highlights of it earlier, it's like when you're looking physically, you're like, wow, that's a solid dude. And he doesn't look broad enough to be able to plow people over, but he definitely has that pass catching sort of body type. And he played with J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins obviously drafted the Ravens, a very similar style to Trey Sermon. He said he's fantastic. They said that he's very similar to James White, who made obviously the pass catching running back a lot of what it is today. He's very physical. Obviously, we know the Ohio State running back history is very successful. He did have great tape at Oklahoma in the postseason. They do feel like his best tape was in 2018. A lot of the analysts out there, Andrew seems to disagree. But it seems like he was better at Oklahoma, but more what they were saying is it was a bit of a slow start at Ohio State and it took a moment to get going. And yeah, he looked great like in the postseason and towards the end of the season and was fantastic. So I think that's more what Andrew's referring to, but it was a little bit slow getting going. And he has the ability to be the biggest keyword I heard from Anis was safety valve, as like a lot of these running backs are now. Christian McCaffrey being one of the top guys, Alvin Kamara, who are these safety valves for the quarterbacks if they have no one to go to because these guys are so good at their pass catching ability. And Trey Sermon can be that, and he has good acceleration. Anis said he can be uncreative and he can be a bit indecisive. But I think that, you know, what I found is as many people said negative things, said positive things. And actually, some people who said one thing saying about, you know, he wasn't indecisive, there'd be another analyst saying his decision making is incredible. So it seems like there's very much a one point of view to another point of view seems to change completely with this guy. As for teams, I'd like to see him go. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers. Being my team, I think, you know, if we got him in the low second, mid third, if he's there in the low second, it could be really good for us. I think Benny Snell if you've got him running down the middle and Sermon as that pass catching ability, that could be really decisive and it could be really impactful for the Steelers. Other teams was the Bengals. Joe Mixon being a bit of a north to south runner, having that pass catching ability guy out there as well for Mixon. Mixon was injury prone last year as well. And also Atlanta as well, like Andrew said, though Chuba Hubbard and Mike Davis would be essentially two power backs. You could have Mike Davis and you could have Trey Sermon as a, you know, a power back and a more pass catching style back. A very interesting player. I really enjoyed watching it. I probably enjoyed his tape out of everyone who I was watching, actually. Let's move on to our wide receivers. So, Andrew, we'll let you start with what this wide receiver you're thinking about.
Okay, my wide receiver is Tamorion Terry. I picked this guy for you guys to talk about. I didn't know whether I'd be first to talk about wide receivers, but everybody's late round one and all round two receivers for me are all little guys, slot receivers or speedsters, which everyone seems to be saying is the future of NFL receiver. That I still like the bigger receiver. I like the big guys. And for me, when you look at this guy, he's not just a big guy. You know, he's at Florida State University, who had real, real poor last couple of seasons. And he's been the only shining light there for me. You know, he's 6'4" and he's real big built. But this guy is real quick. He is a speedster. And what you don't usually get from the big, tall guys is the people don't want them because they can't get separation. This guy can. He can get separation. You know, he's good downfield. I think he broke FSU records for the most touchdowns over 70 yards. And if you go back and look at his tape, when they dumped the ball off to him short and he got the ball was looking at yards after the catch, he's got a real good turn of speed. He's got great acceleration. And because he's so big, he can bounce through these smaller modern cornerbacks and break free for the touchdown. So of all the big guys that are going into this draft, for me, he's my favorite and the best looking. He's an absolute monster. Like I say, he has got that ability to bully cornerbacks, when you're looking at teams that there's lots of slot receivers, there's a lot of 5'10, 5'11, real good route running speedsters in this draft. But if you're looking for an outside guy, you've already got one of those, you know, this is the perfect guy if you need an outside player. So for me, looking at that, I think you're probably looking at somewhere like the Chiefs and somewhere like Baltimore, where their two best receivers at their teams are small, quick guys. You know, put this guy on the outside and he's going to contest catches in the air. He's got good leaping ability for a big guy as well. And I think his teams are looking for someone on the outside. He's perfect for them. And my comparison is Kenny Golladay. They're a similar height. They're a similar speed. So if he can produce anything like he's done, you know, he's had his injury worries through college. I think at the back end of the season, he picked up an ankle injury, which people are slightly worried about. But again, if you look at a lot of mock drafts, this guy's going sort of third round, fourth round. And for me, you know, I'd push, if I really wanted him, maybe late second round, high third round. He's definitely going to help a team on that outside. So, he's an absolute monster. I really like him. So, you know, there's one for the big guys.
You're totally right about the big guys not really getting enough credit. They're all small, slightly speedy guys this year. And, you know, you've got Chase Claypool, AJ Brown in recent history being so successful. Julio Jones, obviously, the most successful in the recent years. The big guys, obviously, historically, Calvin Johnson, etc. But you're right, they are all seem to be small and slotty, as one man may say. Adam, onto your small slotty receiver, I can imagine you have.
Well, you know, I mean, Andrew, bless him, clearly stuck in the past with these giants just lumbering down the room. I have gone and got myself a young slot. He's not 5'10", he's not 5'11", he's 5'9", he's even smaller than that. And he's only £165. I have gone for Tutu Atwell from Louisville, who, if you haven't heard of him before, you're going to remember him because his name is Tutu. So it's like, he's an excellent guy. This guy is as fast as anything. He did a 40 time of 4.32. Deep ball runner, multiple touchdowns he got through the jet sweep. And, you know, a lot of his touchdowns are 50 yards plus. This guy, not only does he have the speed, but he also has that burst at the beginning in order to get away. So whilst your big wide receiver is struggling to get that ball, my guy, he's already gone. He's already there. It's fine. It's not a problem. So he's an ideal person for a team like possibly like a Philadelphia who need wide receivers. Carolina, where Curtis Samuel's gone, their quick guy isn't there anymore. You know, that's the sort of team that he needs to go to. It's difficult to have a comparison, really, because he is so small. But I mean, for all the multiple touchdowns he got through the jet sweep, someone like Mecole Hardman would make sense. Someone who's just really, really quick, like DeSean Jackson. You know, that's the sort of guys that you're talking about. The only problem is his size. He can get knocked off pretty quick, but he does have that speed to get away from the defender quickly. And I think that he is someone who will probably end up going around the third round, maybe possibly drop into the fourth, to the third day even. But yeah, I think he's definitely someone that people should be looking out for.
Well, if you've got a big guy who's quicker, everyone's going to be able to see on the field. You've got a smaller guy that's so quick, you won't be able to catch him. I've got the smallest guy, but runs so quick, you go, isn't that a small child on the pitch? I have Rondell Moore at Purdue, who unofficially, and I feel like when I was watching the measurements, they were like, we're being generous, is 5'7". So forget your 6 foot, forget your 5'9". I got a 5'7 speedster here. Rondell Moore out of Purdue. I really, really enjoyed watching his tape as well. He did an unofficial 4.29 on his 40. So rapid as well. He really impressed, even though he's undersized, and he did showcase his athleticism at his pro day. Again, size is an issue. It is an issue, but he's a fantastic player. I mean, he's 2018. He was freshman of the year, basically CBS Sports Freshman of the Year. I haven't got his stats right now. He had 114 receptions, 1,258 yards, 12 touchdowns, and 21 rushing attempts for 213 yards and 2 touchdowns. Hasn't done much of that since. He only played 4 games in 2019 with a hamstring injury, and he initially opted out in the 2020 season, but did opt back in, but only scored 1 touchdown, didn't have many yards, unfortunately. I remember December, January mocks have him going in the late first to second round. And a mock I've just watched today from Maurice Jones-Drew has him going to the Green Bay Packers. But I don't think he's not been hyped at all of recent. I don't know whether he would go to the Green Bay Packers. Adam shaking his head very thoroughly there. Andrew saying, yes, take him. And Adam saying, no.
No, not to the Packers. He's been hyped up.
But there's no way we are going to take a small wide receiver. It's not going to happen.
Especially in the first round as well.
Yeah.
The comparison he's been getting a lot is Tyler Lockett and Steve Smith Jr. He can also punt return as well. He's really good at that. This dude's just fast. And he's not just fast, he's strong as well. There's tape on him where he gets tackled by two huge guys and runs over them and runs all the way down the field. He's not afraid of contact. So he's 5'7" and light. He ain't afraid of contact, and he gets the yards after catch. He's very instinctive. A lot, according to the the people at Purdue, he's a great team player. Like he's a real leader and a real, he's not selfish or anything like that for a wide receiver. His concern is he's undersized, obviously, like a lot of these small guys are in the NFL that are coming out this year. And it is the worry with a lot of these small guys, I can imagine, is they can't challenge the big cornerbacks in the league, you know, the Jalen Ramseys of the world. And also, of course, his game experience. As I said, he's only played 4 games in 2019. I think he only played 3 games in 2020. But he was awesome in 2018. Like, his stats are incredible. When I was looking at teams that I think should be looking at him, who maybe want that really small receiver guy. In my mind, when I heard small receiver, I thought Boston Scott, but I feel like he's a taller than Boston Scott and he hasn't got that. Boston Scott's a bit more broader. I think he's a bit more lean. But I was looking at the Eagles, getting that DeSean Jackson replacement. Detroit. The only problem with Detroit is I don't feel like they've got anyone big. They could just have a handful of small guys that can work really. Jacksonville wouldn't be a bad shout, having someone, a small guy in the slot there. They've got some good guys on the boundary in DJ Shark, LaVisca Chenault. The Patriots being one as well. They've got bigger guys. I mean, Kendrick Bourne, I would say, is probably going to play in that position. But if he's slotted behind Kendrick Bourne for a bit, that'd be good. And Washington as well, even though they've got Curtis Samuel. If you had a big guy and Terry McLaurin going down the field, their tight end is pretty decent. He's a taller guy. You have two small, quick guys who are tough in Curtis Samuel and Rondell Moore. I'd be very happy to see that as well. Let's go on to our defenders very quickly. We haven't got loads of time left. We've got 10 minutes left, so we'll quickly whiz for our defenders. Andrew, why don't you start us off with what defender you've picked?
Okay, my defender is the position I think everybody's going to be sort of looking at after Tampa utilised their linebackers so well for their Super Bowl victory. And I'm looking at Jabril Cox from LSU. He's a real quick guy. He's got real good speed. He's great in man coverage. He's great in zone coverage. And this guy was originally at North Dakota State at the Bisons, which everyone talks about the Bisons because they're a lower division team and they produce some good players and people always expect these players to produce the goods and go into the NFL. And, you know, for me, this guy did the right thing. He transferred to a bigger team and he went to LSU and he made that step up and he didn't look out of place when he went to LSU. You know, he was the defensive player of the year out of his conference at North Dakota State. And, you know, for me, he was probably, you know, it took him a little while to adapt to the SEC and the way that they play their games. But once he got into it, he did look really, really good. And they'd lost Patrick Queen and they'd lost Javion Clayson. And I felt like he stepped up and became a little bit more of the biggest name on that defense. So they had a poor year last year, but he was a name that I remember seeing and talking about and looking at all year round. And I really liked the look of him. Got great side-to-side speed. And I think if he'd have been at a higher-level team like LSU for the whole of his college career, then I think we would have been talking about him being a number one-round draft pick. But I think there's still a few question marks with only seeing him in that team for 1 year and, it, you know, they're not producing the goods like they have done before. So I think he's going to be an absolute great steal at the linebacker position in the later rounds. And I think if you're the likes of a rebuilding team and you can get hold of him, I think last year I was talking a lot about Jabari Zuniga from the Gators. And he was a steal in later rounds and he's now producing the goods at the Jets. I think this guy can do a similar thing. If you're rebuilding, he's going to be later down the line. He's going to be a player to start straight away. I think if you're the Saints or the Falcons and you're rebuilding, he's going to be a perfect player to pick up. Even also, if you're looking at the other side of things, people that are going to go offensive heavy in the early rounds, like the Jets or the Dolphins, you know, they are going to go offensive heavy in the early rounds. This guy is still going to be there, I think, for the later rounds for them to strengthen those defenses that they've been working on over the last couple of years. I think he's got the potential. Like I said, if he'd been in there, in the SEC a bit more longer, I think we'd be likening him to CJ Mosley. I think they're very similar the way they play. So for me, it's Jabril Cox.
That's a Jabril Cox name I've definitely heard of, and I'm very excited to see him. And people forget that LSU had a completely depleted team after the 2020 NFL draft, after every player got drafted in this first or second round who went into the draft. They were so incredible. Adam, what defensive player have you picked?
So I've also gone for a linebacker. I have gone for Baron Browning from Ohio State, which Andrew knows lots about. So this could be interesting. He's about 6'3", 245 pounds. So he's the right size, and he's got the strength as well to play the position in the NFL. The thing that's really impressive about him, and probably why NFL teams would be interested in this guy, is that he's played in multiple linebacker spots for Ohio State. I think, and that's something that is very, sometimes people don't think about that as much. That's something that is important, that people can play in different positions in case of injuries. He has the stamina to push hard on every play and really go 100% all the time. I think he's definitely someone that there's a lot of teams out there that are looking for a decent linebacker. And as Andrew said, the way that Tampa Bay played last year, it's going to be relevant and front and center for these teams to go for. I personally think he's probably going to be a day two pick in round three. Potentially could drop to round four, but I think he's probably going to be a round three one. When it comes to a comparison to him, I kind of felt he kind of reminded me a little bit of Oren Burks, who plays for Green Bay. You know, so he's kind of one of these guys. He hasn't started a lot of games, but he has been there, been involved in the games, and I think that he is definitely the type of size and strength kind of guy that Baron Browning is. For me, I think, you know, Dallas would be a good one. They're a team that are definitely looking for one. I think Pittsburgh could do with a bit of extra depth there. So, you know, he wouldn't be the worst.
If he was there, yeah. I wouldn't be upset.
A little bit later on, like I say, round three, round four, I think he would be a good one for Pittsburgh. So yeah, I think he's definitely one to look out for, and that he's one that's going to do well in the future.
He was actually a player that I was very much watching, because I also went for Ohio State defender. I went for cornerback. So whilst I was trying to get tape on Sean Wade, I also got tape on Brandon Browning. So I got to have best of both worlds there. So I went for Sean Wade. Andrew smirks because we've talked about Sean Wade a lot in history before we knew Adam, I suppose, as well as we do. Sean Wade, when Jeff Okuda got drafted last year, and he went third to the Lions, Andrew said it, and then other analysts said it after I watched further things, that, yeah, Jeff Okuda's great, but you really need to watch the guy on the other side. He's going to be even better. He'll get drafted really high next year. So I looked at who the name was, and it was Sean Wade. Now, Sean Wade has not become that player, apparently, in the 2021 draft. He has fell very dramatically down the board, but I believe it's because of the type of cornerback he is. He's very, very much a slot cornerback. He's very much an inside cornerback. And that's what I think has tumbled him down the board a little bit. And I don't think he's really reached his true potential, unfortunately, just yet. But he's still a fantastic player. He was named first team Associated Press All-American. He was the Big Ten Defensive Back of the Year. 34 total tackles, one tackle for loss, two interceptions, a touchdown, and four passes defended. He's a real competitor. I watched an interview with him and, I believe, Bookie Brooks, and he said, "I'm happy to play safety. I can play that position." He's a disruptor. He's timely. He's very athletic. He's a strong tackler. And he really locks onto the receiver as well. He has just really tumbled down the board. Jeff Okuda went that high, I figured this guy would probably be in the top 10 conversation next year, and he hasn't been. But it's not really his fault. He's had poor tape compared to 2019. He's not has been as amazing this year. He has had his injury concerns. He had his turf toe before his pro day, so he had bit of surgery on that, and then he's done his pro day. So he's just not been as effective in 2020. He's niggled injuries, had turf toe. I just don't think he's been probably had the tape that he had in 2019, unfortunately. And he's not really, he admitted himself he hadn't practiced loads of it, and he's not had a great experience this year and a lot of last year, sorry, in 2020, of working on the outside. And he's very much, I'm a slot cornerback. So I think that limits him a little bit. He does lack speed, and he has missed interception opportunities, I suppose. There's a lot of teams out there that are looking for a nickel corner, for a guy to play inside. I mean, my Steelers being one of them. We got rid of Mike Hilton. Cam Sutton's not there. I think he's a good guy. We could take in the late third with mid fourth pick. I watched Bookie Brooks doing sort of a mock the other day. He had him going to the Seattle Seahawks. I think that's another team that you definitely go to. I also think the Buffalo Bills as well. They've got two guys on the edge there with Levi Wallace and Tre'Davious White. They had someone as a nickel corner for them. He could really work well there. And I really like him. I watched the interview with him and it might have been Bookie Brooks or it might have been somebody else, but I seem to really enjoy him. He used to have long blonde locks, and now they're all gone. He's trimmed them all down, and people didn't even know who he was at the pro day. There were scouts asking each other who that guy was. Oh, that's Sean Wade. Oh, he looks different. So I feel like he's just been forgotten about, unfortunately, due to his position. And I think maybe it's not a stronger position need for the NFL players, for the NFL teams as it was. Good fun. Really enjoyed that. A lot of names there to remember. Maybe go out there and look for names yourself that you don't know and keep an eye, because the first day is fantastic. It's great seeing the first round picks, but you know, they're going to be on for days after the second round, the third round, the fourth round. They tend to start earlier. They tend to be faster paced. So it's good because, you know, it does plow through very quickly. So make sure you go and keep an eye on all of the draft that's happening from the 29th of April all the way through to, I believe, the 2nd or the 1st. So it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. Obviously, when it gets to the 5th and 6th and 7th, it does get a bit tiresome, but you might as well stick around for the fun anyway. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Andrew, for joining me yet again. You can find all our podcast episodes on iTunes Podcast, where you can leave a rating and a review, and we're on Spotify as well. But if you don't have any platforms, you can visit our website, www.thefranchisetag.co.uk. You can find all our social media accounts, Facebook, Instagram, The Franchise Tag Podcast, on Twitter with the handle @FranchiseTagUK. And you can DM us on there or email us at thefranchisetagpod@gmail.com. Thank you for joining us yet again. We shall be back next week. It is mock draft season next week. It is days before the draft. Very, very exciting times. We hope you all have a great weekend. Keep safe out there. Go enjoy yourself with your friends in the sun. But obviously, stay healthy, stay safe, and we'll see you all very soon.